Hey, 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 Changed Up Now What Nation? This is your girl, Coach T, and my husband, Coach G, and I are on a mission to help the world obtain and maintain healthy relationships. Speaking of healthy, we're on the move to teach 101 students about safe dating and rape prevention. You would be surprised at the number of young people that have been affected by a sexual predator. Now, you know your girl is a survivor, and my husband, Coach G, was one of my biggest supporters on my healing journey. So we want to return the favor by teaching the youth about the preventative measures they can take to remain safe. For more details about how you can help us reach our goal by sponsoring or signing up a child, please visit www.cu-nw.com and click on Support the Movement. You know, when it comes to our elders, I can sit at their feet for hours, gaining wisdom on whatever it is that they are sharing. My husband, Coach G, and I had the absolute pleasure of sitting down with this lovely couple to talk about their relationship journey. So stick around if you too want to have 30 years in the game and counting. If you want to know how to make it last. Ladies and gents, please welcome to our show, Dr. Robert Goodman and his lovely wife, Denise Goodman. All right. Hey, 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 Dr. Robert and Miss Denise, how are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing just fine. I'm a little excited about this and finishing up the book, you know, and getting all of the things like that done. And actually, just your interview sort of just had me to think more about the topic of the book, you know, and how it represent and present, encouraging me to go further in life, you know. And so I always did, but this is the point of going through, doing this era with the app as well, the wisdom app. And so, yeah, so a bit like that with me.
Absolutely. Now, I wanted to give you a chance to kind of introduce yourselves. Now, if you both could introduce yourselves, and if you could let people know who you are and how you're making an impact on the community really quick.
Ladies first.
This is Denise. I work with Dr. Goodman with his clients to provide services, advisory services for relationships and individual counseling.
Okay. And Dr. Robert?
To add on to that, yes, the individual counseling and what people's doing at that particular time. And know what level or what even the role playing that they're playing with their relationship with their self. You know, and so my goal is to really get people back to their attention on who they are and what their goal is in life. And so that's what I mostly work with is people that want to know more about their relationship, but the relationship with themselves, as well as the relationship with the person life or the job.
Okay, excellent. Now, can you remember what life was like before meeting one another? So, Denise, what was your life like before you met Dr. Robert?
You know, I was a working professional woman, and I was working in the medical products industry, you know, which is something I have continued to do. I have more than one thing going on in my life.
Okay. And then, like, what about relationship-wise as well? Was it, how was that part of your life before meeting him?
Well, I had a lot of different relationships with men, and, you know, it was you know, this one and that one. And, you know, I didn't have any real long-term sustained relationship.
Got you. And Dr. Robert, as it pertains to relationships, how was your life before meeting Miss Denise? Because obviously the previous relationships didn't work out all the way or had taught you some lessons before meeting your queen. So how was your life like before meeting Miss Denise?
Having a lot of girlfriends, but not saying we was trying to settle down. They was doing their thing, you know, and it was some at the college that whatever they was doing, and then they just want to have a one night stand, stuff like that, you know. But I was basically into the relationship of the courses and knowing, getting to know more about who I am, you know. And early on in Arkansas, yes, it was quite a few girls even propositioned me of getting them pregnant, you know, because their life was going down the drain. You know, and the quickest way out was having a baby, getting on welfare and getting a place that they own, you know, and that's something I didn't want to do, you know. And so,
exactly.
But once I got into to university and start really taking them courses and teaching them, and they were reminding me of what my parents and relative had said to me is do the best you can. Just don't look back or you'll stay in the past. You know, and that's something I didn't want to do. And that was something all of them was saying, just don't stay in the past. No, do what you want to do in life. And so and that's what I was doing. And then when I got with Denise, you know, it was like that. Like I said, we were dancing, and I don't think she meant to say that out loud, but she said, "You the one," you know.
Oh, yes, you are the one. Now, this question is also for the both of you. Let's get into the good stuff. I want both of you guys to recall the time, the very first time that you two laid eyes on one another or heard about one another. What was that first experience like? And you just mentioned that she said you're the one, but what was that very first time, you know, that it was like laying eyes on one another?
I was teaching a course, and I don't know if you was looking at me, but I was looking around the room, and I did notice you, you know. So, but when did you really, that's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing you then, but it wasn't, you know, it was in the context of a lot of other people were around. So, you know, that wasn't any big deal in particular as far as the first time I ever saw him. But I guess the most memorable thing was I danced with him and at a party. And, you know, in conjunction with that course, I think. No, it was later. Anyway, it was so
yeah,
when
it was
I.
Yeah, much later.
It was much later. Mm-hmm. I guess I knew that I, you know, wanted, I was attracted to him in a man-woman way when I danced with him and I could feel the warmth emanating from him, because he's got a very visceral warmth.
Gotcha. Okay. And did any type of outside influences try to stop you guys from pursuing one another? I know that Coach G and I, we talk about this in our book. For him, it was, well, for both of us, it was our family, our friends, even just outsiders were just trying to stop both of us from pursuing one another. And then, of course, later on, alcoholism and infidelity also tried to wedge itself into our relationship. But we had a lot of people saying, don't date her, don't date him. you know, and all of this stuff. So did, and either one of you could take this question, but did you guys have any type of outside influences to try to stop y'all from pursuing one another?
Yes. You know, there were a couple of people around us that tried to discourage me from getting involved with him because they had other ideas about how they might influence my life in a different direction. And I really just didn't appreciate that. I could see right through what their intentions were. And I just pretty much ignored them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I agree. And you guys have 30 years in the game and counting. So it's like you obviously did something right, you know, not listening to those outside influences and continuing to follow your heart and what made sense at the time.
Yes. And no, and at the time I was already living on the property, and she did a 2-week evaluancy, and then she started coming back, you know, and it was just more of trying to discourage me, you know, from getting with her, or was she really the one? On one hand, I could feel someone was looking out for me, and then the other ones had a little envy going on, you know, and so I know it goes both ways, you know, but again, I didn't let that stop me from what it was that I wanted to do. And she was interested enough in me to pursue me, then I was interested enough to be pursued, you know, like that.
Yes, yes. And I could feel you on that envying part, because even when we first got together, you know, it was just a lot of lovey-dovey stuff. We would kiss each other, and then people would be like, stop that kissing, stop that. Like, we could feel the envy, you know what I'm saying?
Right. And then for me, it was just a lot of, you know, people just telling me like, oh, well, trying to put thoughts in my brain, telling me stuff that they think he's doing.
Right.
You know, be telling me like, oh, you know, she got a lot of boyfriends, or, you know, she's probably been with this dude or probably been with that dude. And even people on the outside telling me like, oh yeah, I know her. Yeah, I know her very well, you know, but it's like, yeah, like I said, I just ignored it.
Yep. We did what we wanted to do, just like y'all did.
Yes. And I do remember somebody said to her that I was born in the streets.
What?
Yeah. And I said, no, I wasn't born in the streets. I wasn't race in the street, but I know the street life, you know. And yes, it was very envy. Instructor Dara, that was very envy of me. It was quite a few of them there because of my upbringing and a lot of stuff that they was teaching I already knew, and and they was just like envy of that. And so once I started talking to her, you know, talking to Denise, they felt like I was giving away too much information. I should charge her, you know. I mean, it's like I'm just relating with her, and what I know is totally different from what y'all know, because I done did it. Y'all is just teaching the course. I done did it, you know. So it was a difference.
Oh,
yeah. And that was another thing she seen in me as well. And she did say to them, James is different from you guys, you know. And I did. I had a different lifestyle, you know.
Right. And a lot of times what makes all the difference, experience is the best teacher.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. So this is for both of you. How did you know that your now spouse was the one to marry? We get that question a lot, and I'm pretty sure y'all have gotten that too, but how did you know that she was the one, Denise? How did you know that he was the one to actually marry?
I guess it was just a feeling. You know, if you're together for a while, you know, it just gets to feeling like it's supposed to be that way.
Yeah. And I want to add into a higher level of communication, because we did communicate with each other and I was willing to listen to her and she's willing to listen to me. And so we're not talking over each other when we're talking. And so, and out of respect, I mean, that's what my grandmother said to me. Respect your elders, but respect yourself first as a person. Mm. And so that's why I've got that from my mother, from my grandmother. And my mother, she would ask us to do chores. She wouldn't tell us. Mm. And she, of course we say yes, but she turned around and said, thank you. No. And it was just showing her appreciation, you know, her respect. And that's where I got that from, you know. And it was just, I still think about the one time I was out there cutting wood and mom came out to ask me something, but she brought me a glass of water. She could have easily stuck her head out the door and said, do this when you're done, you know. But she came out and gave me a glass of water and asked me, you know, like that. So that's what one of the things that I feel like she seeing me, you know, and as well as a lot of other people seeing in me that were envy of me, you know, of what it is, the way that I was brought up.
Mm. All right. So what's the most difficult adjustment that you guys had to make after becoming one and being married?
So I kept doing the courses and she kept doing her thing. And then we just kept communicating with each other about what step we was going to take next. You know, so once we left the university, you know, we got an apartment and then we bought a house, you know, and then 5 years later, we bought this house. And so we've been here going on at least 8 years.
But like being a couple, you know, how you're two and you guys became one, like being a couple, was there anything that was difficult at first to like, anything that was difficult? Because, you know, when you're single, you do what you want. You come and go as you please. But then when you're with somebody and you love them, you kind of come together. So was there any, like, thing that was a little difficult to adjust to?
Well, first, me, I was already had adjusted to sort of like being in a relationship, you know, but teaching the courses and being around different couples and stuff like that, you know, I didn't really feel like I was out chasing the women's and doing my own thing. I was actually concentrating on the next level, the next step of what it was that I was going to do and what it is that I'm doing now, you know. And so when she came along, you know, like I said, my mom said the right one will come along. And when she came into the picture, you know, I just felt like she was the right one, you know, and we started doing stuff together. And so it was like that for me.
Yeah, I think for me, moving to Nevada, where there's very little diversity, I'm Caucasian. And being here, like being in the Bay Area, nobody gives a second look at interracial relationships of any kind because it's so common. There's so many different people of all types. Mm-hmm. But here, there are very few Black people. And I, you know, we get looked at in a strange way, and I'm way more conscious of the fact that, you know, I'm white and he's black here. Which is not the beginning of our relationship. It was just a change in a very big change in our living situation.
Mm. Wow, that sounds like a huge adjustment.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of rednecks here.
Yeah, I've actually seen that too, and it's weird because where I come from in Minnesota, it's a mixture of both. It's like the further north you go, the less diversified it is. So you would get those looks, and, you know, especially with interracial relationships. But in the inner city, and, you know, where we were, that's mostly all you seen was interracial relationships, because it's mostly because of the university. It's, you had Asian people from Somalia and over from Africa and India, all over the place, and everybody just intermingled with everybody. But
right,
certain spots where, you know, only the Asians be with the Asians, and, you know, those type of things.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And no, and being there at the university, there was quite a few different cultures of peoples there. And coming in, even, you know, they were flying in from Hawaii and other places to take the courses. You know, so it's still there, a whole bunch of variety of different people there at the university, you know.
Mm. Okay, so 30 years in the game, I know y'all got a lot of experience. But can you tell the listeners, how do you keep your marriage happy and healthy?
Well, I think it boils down to two things, respect and paying attention to what impact, you know, your actions and words have on the other person. You know, when I was younger, I was more self-centered, but now I feel like I've learned largely from him to, you know, be conscious of how I respond or react, and, you know, take into consideration that it's not just all about me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I can say the same thing as for her. You know, I mean, I have the same feeling, you know, and thank you, you know, for that, because I do it out of respect, you know, in the point of respecting yourself, you know, knowing that it's you going to respect others, because the idea of respecting yourself first, you know, you want that. You want someone else to have that same feeling, you know, and to give you that same feeling, you know. But hey, if you know it's not going to happen, you're going to go left, you know. You're not going to stick there and, like, be abused and, you know, and disrespect, you know. Because, I mean, hey, as nice as I can be just as ugly. You know?
That's true.
All right.
Like they say, the pendulum swings even sidedly both ways.
That's right.
No. I think people don't understand that, especially when you're always so nice, kind, and pleasant. They don't understand that you can have another side. You just choose not to use that side, you know?
So, right.
Mm-hmm. This is a sidebar question, because I noticed that Dr. Robert, you teach a lot about goals and things like that. And I wanted to give you a chance to kind of shed some light on that. Now, these days, everybody always talks about goals, relationship goals. And so what happens is they'll see an influencer on social media And we all know that social media only shows us, it only shows people what they want to see. It doesn't really show you the bad times, the difficult times and challenges in a relationship. But people, for instance, for you guys, they could look at you. They could look at your beautiful wife, the half an acre you're on, the, I believe, 5-bedroom house, and the doctor in front of your name. They could look at all these things and be like, ooh, that's a goal. But they don't know the other side. They don't know what it took to get to that level. And the scary thing about social media is some of these relationships are just doing this for show. When they turn the camera off, they're completely opposite. So I just wanted to know, what does setting a relationship goal look like, and how do you set that?
Hey, y'all, I know that this is a good show, but lately, have you been thinking about adding a new nonfiction book to your personal library? Check out our true story. It's called Fed Up, Changed Up, Now What, where every chapter pulls back the layers of our dating and marriage life. With a workbook included, biblical quotes, and we've even added resources for our readers that are in need of physical and spiritual support. Pick up your copy of Fed Up, Changed Up, Now What today. Okay, now back to the show.
Well, I would say that, we both focus on now, living in the moment and having that be good. Because we believe if life is good, then more is good. Better, at this point in my life, at this age, I think both of us were like 2 years apart in age, so we are interested in having our life be fun and pleasurable and not have a lot of drama, because life is short. And I've got quite a few friends that have passed away, and you never know how much time you have. So as far as goals go, relationship goals, I think we both have the goal to be happy and have a good time, and he supports me and what I want to do, even if it doesn't necessarily include him, and because we both have different parts of our lives, and I feel like I do the same thing with him, and so we have our separateness and our togetherness. I think the idea that a couple like should do everything together and be inseparable, we don't live like that.
No,
I never did.
No, for example, when she in the kitchen cooking, I'm out of there. Soon as she done cooking, I go in there, set the table, and sit there and eat with her, really enjoy each other. But as long as if I'm in the kitchen while she cooking and standing there, she feel,
you're in the way.
Yeah, see? That's the worst thing. You're in the way. Okay. I'm just getting some water.
You know what? That's what I was going to ask y'all next. It's so funny y'all bring that up. I was going to ask you guys, how do you keep your own identity in a relationship? For an example, you might be more into football. Miss Denise might be more into making jewelry, arts and crafts. So she may not be a football fan and you may not be a jewelry fan. So what do you do to keep your own identity? Should she watch less football, or you watch less football, and You well, help her with a jury? How do you do that?
We're blessed in that we have a lot of room here. And, you know, we don't, we can easily stay out of each other's way. really?
Yeah, to the point that sometimes she calls me on the phone and said, where are you?
And also, it's an attitude, like, I feel like, of permission, if you will, like, agreement. If I, you know, if I want to be working on my jewelry and, you know, he sees that's what I'm doing, he's not bothering me about doing something different. You know, so he's willing to respect my sense of self and what I want to do. And it's the same way with me. You know, I, you know, if he's doing something that doesn't involve me, I just stay out of the way.
Mm. Okay.
That sounds like a perfect balance. You know, you have your things that you do separately and you have the things that y'all do together. And it's a perfect understanding and a level of respect. That's what makes it, you know, the perfect yin and yang, will.
Yeah, and that's, I remember as a kind of like a newlywed, I guess you could say, I have found out the significance of the man cave and the prayer room or prayer corner. And so my husband would have a guest come over, and what I would do is I would cook for the gentleman, him and his company, and let the men be men and do their thing. And it was very healthy. You know, especially this particular brother would come over because he was having troubles with his marriage. So our place was a safe outlet. Like, we don't condone stepping out on one another, especially just because you got an issue. No, just, I know that she's putting you down. I know that she's talking about your manhood and this and that. Let's be opposite. Let's let the men come together and be men. And then things can cool off, and then, you know, he'll go back home, and then me and my husband will continue enjoying our evening. But I think a lot of some people miss that in relationships and think that you have to do everything together and somebody's got to be over your shoulder 24/7. That sounds like suffocation, you know?
Yes, I agree. Yeah. And, you know, my mother, my father would take a hunting trip away where he'd go away once a year. And my, you know, ever since, you know, when I was little, and my mother always said, it's important to have separate time, you know, so I kind of grew up with that notion, you know, that, because then we would do special things together. And then when my brother got older, he would go, and my father and me and my mother would, you know, go to New York shopping, because I grew up in New Jersey, or, you know, we would go to, you know, we would go do things together that they didn't want to do. And, you know, it was great.
Yeah. Even now, it's like she go off and do stuff, and then I go off and do stuff. And like the other day, she was going to the somewhere. And and where I was going is right down the street, you know, and I said, I could go with you, you know, and she said, I said, I drive my car, I got back before she did, you know, and then she said I had to go shopping and do something else, you know, and I went and came, went what I had to do and came back. You know, she decided to do something else while she was out, you know, so it was like that, you know.
Right. I agree that one thing that I really don't have a taste for is going shopping.
He hates to go shopping. I don't even want to come. It's like, no, even
go shopping, go even grocery shopping.
Oh, yeah.
No. I feel rushed, and, you know, like I gotta hurry up, and
And he doesn't like to go with me to get my hair done. When we first got together, it took me about 8 hours. My beautician, 8 hours. So when I come back home, he was like, what took you so long? I said, I was getting my hair done. He said, really? So it took 8 hours to get your hair done? I said, yeah. He said, well, I'm going with you the next time. I said, okay. So he goes with me. He comes with me. And he was in the waiting room, lobby, whatever. He was sitting up straight at first. And then hours passed and passed. He was slouching down and slouching down and slouching down. And at the end, the sun went down, sure enough. And he said, baby, I apologize. I will never ask about
that. That was my last hair experience with her.
Oh, yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah, I took my sister one time. It didn't take 8 hours. I think it took at least 3 hours, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there, you know, I went and washed the car, cleaned it out. The next time she said, I'm going to get my hair done, I threw her the keys. No, I'm not taking
you. Now, okay, so we can agree on that. It's so many similarities. Now, we were on Wisdom a couple shows ago, and the topic was about taking breaks. So what's going on is some of these relationships are using taking breaks from one another as a pass to have sex or to date someone in between that break. Now, Dr. Robert, myself, and my husband, we don't believe in taking breaks that result in leaving the house for months, weeks, whatever, and then coming back together, doing what we want in that time. We don't believe in those kind of breaks. So, Miss Denise, to you, what does taking a break look like within the marriage? Let's say the scenario is you have a disagreement, maybe a little angry, maybe a little frustrated for whatever reason, and you just need a little break. What does that look like for you?
Well, I mean, it could be a really small break where, you know, I just, you know, go to a room and be alone, or I go shopping. And sometimes it's not really a break intentionally, like to get away from him, but I like to go back to California and like visit my girlfriends, you know, and do some things every now and then. And, you know, that's just fun. I used to do that more when we first moved here, but I had some business interests in more business interests in California. So I was back and forth a lot. And so if I got frustrated with him, I'd just leave and go to California because I had a place to stay. But then I'd come back, you know, it was no big deal.
Good.
Because I was trying to think, when did you get frustrated enough to drive all the way to California?
When we first moved here, I mean, I would have been going anyway, you know, because I would come here a lot on the weekend. I was working there. So I'd be going anyway. Maybe I'd leave early or something, you know, and go back. So,
yeah, this is just a hypothetical situation, so.
Yeah.
I don't think she ever got mad enough to up and leave and
no.
I want to take a break, you know. She kicked me out of the room quite a few times.
You know? And the kitchen, too.
all the time. So I know not to go in there. That's off limit.
Oh, man. I love it. I can see that in my mind how that plays, because that's how we was brought up. Get out of this kitchen. How can a single person prepare for a healthy relationship? Because we all know you got to prepare for it. You can't just say, well, I want the love of my life, and then just not do anything. So how can a single person prepare for a healthy relationship?
Well, I think one of the big things that causes disappointment is that a lot of people, I think a lot of women is too, especially, but I just say that because I'm a woman, expect this person to be everything to them. Mm-hmm. My lover, my, you know, golf partner, if that's what they want to do, you know, my, you know, my, somebody wants to share all their hobbies, or, you know, like they want that person to fulfill all these roles in their life, that they think that's what they need, a marriage is about. And that's unrealistic. It really is. You know, if I was with a man for quite a while that was a golfer, I had absolutely no interest in playing golf. He offered to teach me. I didn't want to learn. I didn't want to go. I didn't care. But if he wanted to go play golf, fine, you know, go play. And actually his favorite golf partner was a woman. And I was fine with that. It's like, because that was not something that I wanted to do. And, you know, he didn't expect me to, and I didn't want to. And if he had insisted that I, you know, take up golf, that would have ruined our relationship because I would have hated it. So I think that to prepare is that people have to be realistic, and because there's probably very few people in the world where, you know, all of their interests and activities match up perfectly. You know, as long as you're together on the big things, your attitudes and values, you know, then, you know, the other stuff will work itself out. And another thing that gets in the way all the time is jealousy and envy. And, you know, that could be being jealous of the time that he's off golf, and it's like, get over it, you know? So I think that if people to prepare for a long-term relationship need to be realistic with themselves first, and then, you know, with the other person. And as long as there's communication, you know, about, you know, the basic stuff, and you're not, you know, hiding things from each other, you know, it that you have an openness, you're going to be okay.
Yes, you know, and speaking of jealousy, we have a course on jealousy, money, and possession. It's the name of the course, you know, and just people are willing to communicate about them three things on the level of who they are with each other, versus on, oh, well, he going out to play golf with his friend, which is a girl. Is he spending the money on her? You know, and the possession of the time that he had with her, he could be having with me. So it's how to look at all of that and so like that.
Okay, now this is the last question here of the interview, and then we just have a couple more things. But Dr. Robert, you have courses, and I wanted to know, because your courses deal with relationships and different areas of a person's life. Is there a common factor that you see in most of your clients, like a common situation that they share? And could you share just one technique that you would use to help them with that?
Acknowledge them who they are, because that's what they keep wanting to, like, show other people who they are, but they don't know who they are themselves, you know. But they listen to other people saying, you should, could, or would, you know, and they putting all that together, try to make something on who they are based on what the other people say. You know, they're not finding out who they are. So that's it's my viewpoint on that one.
Got you. Okay. Well, thank you so much, guys, for answering these here questions that we have for you. We know that it's instilling value upon our listeners. So to close out the interview, we have a scenario. Now, because it's two of you, I'm going to start one scenario. It's going to be for Dr. Robert, and the other one is going to be for you, Miss Denise. So, Dr. Robert, this is my favorite part of the show, not because it's the end of the show, but because it's where you actually speak directly to a person's needs and situation. So y'all know during the pandemic, depression and suicide has skyrocketed. So this is one of them sensitive moments of the show that you get to speak value and come from the heart. So here's your scenario, Dr. Robert. There's a young man that does not have any knowledge as to how to treat a woman. Growing up, the men in his life were either absent or all players. One day, the young man decides that he's ready to settle down and become a family man. So without any prior experience or healthy examples, no assets that he has, and very little relationship knowledge, what advice would you give to this brother? Where should he start?
Yes, and the first thing I will say, listen to her. You know, put your attention on what it is that she wants. You know, drop your goals, because your goals is no longer interesting enough for yourself to hold on to. But what she see in you and what she want to have y'all grow together or have together, that's what he want to put his attention on. But if he want to do what his relative said, they're out there doing the plan, and actually, yes, if it's man not in the relationship, he's listening to moms, and 9 out of 10, what level of communication that mom are giving him? Do mom really like men, or is mom being straight about it? So it's a level of communication on his responsibility.
Okay, Miss Denise. Okay, yours is kind of long, but hang on. Denise, there's a newlywed wife out there that's been in the marriage game for about 3 years. At first, everything was fine. The sex was great, the bed is undefiled, date nights were on and popping, and everything was brand new. Now they have kids, and this wife has become extremely busy. She spends 80 hours a week on work, changing diapers, cooking dinners, balancing the checkbooks, and her loved ones, whom she does not want to disappoint, constantly call her needing advice, money, and favors. A hero to everyone else, but she is showing little to no love to herself and her husband, who is now starting to feel a bit neglected. What advice would you give to this newlywed wife?
Well, to step back and decide on your priorities, and you know, is prioritize, you know, your children and your husband and yourself, and, you know, learn to, you know, to say no to things that are going to stress you beyond your capacity, to the point where you are not taking care of yourself. And a lot of times when this happens, the first person that they start to neglect is themselves. And you can't be there for your children and your husband if you're not in good shape. And if you're so stretched because your relatives or neighbors are asking you to do things, or you know, and making demands, then you just have to put up limits on that. And because it's just too much and you could lose your whole relationship over it.
I want to say one other thing. All limitation are self-imposed. And that is a lot of things that what people do is impose their help supposedly onto somebody else, support, and end up getting betrayed. So they have to really think about what it is that they are doing and the priority of their life.
Well, you heard it. Okay, Dr. Robert and Ms. Denise, we have 2 minutes on the clock. You guys are going to be in our lightning round. You're just going to answer the first thing that comes to your head. We're going to try to fit this in 2 minutes. You're going to answer these questions as quickly as possible. So the way we're going to do it is, Dr. Robert, you can take the first question, then Denise will take the second one, and you go back and forth until we're done. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Favorite hobby?
Playing on my computer.
Denise, Luther Vandross, Marvin Gaye, or Al Green?
Luther Vandross.
Favorite day of the week?
Sunday.
You wrote a book about your life. What would it be titled?
My Life.
Best gift you've received?
Denise.
Most expensive gift you've purchased for you or someone else?
Video.
Finish this sentence. You can't hurry love.
So don't try.
If you had to choose between comedy, horror, and romantic or action films, which one would you choose?
Action.
Last question, but this one is for both of you. One thing you absolutely love about your spouse?
Respect.
Flexibility.
Well, 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 as you can see, Dr. Robert and Miss Denise dropped some gems, y'all. With 30 years in the game and counting, how could I not have them on the show? It was a no-brainer. I actually met this couple on the Wisdom app a while ago, and the things that Doc had said in his shows kind of had me reflecting on my own life and my own marriage. So I knew that I would have to have him and his beautiful queen on my show. Now, one thing about this episode that I want to point out is how they ignored what the quote unquote people said, and they pursued each other anyway. And to be honest, at times, that's what you have to do in life. Whenever God is putting a person in your heart, go for it. Whenever a person feels genuine, or you guys can communicate about anything, you both believe in God, you guys have lots of similarities, and he or she shows you respect, go for it. Now, when it comes to Coach G and I, if we had waited on the approval of others, we would probably still be as single as a Pringle, just like the individuals who were hating on us. So, follow your heart and go onto the path that your God-given discernment is leading you to. And if you do that, you too can obtain 30 years or more in the game of love. Now, while we're on the topic of love, Dr. Robert has these courses that he teaches, and it deals with love and self-love at that. So he is a huge advocate of self-love. He has this saying that I just thought was so profound, which is, the most expensive price you'll ever pay is paying attention to the wrong person. This can mean a lot of things, but in this moment, I'm choosing to apply this saying to self-love. You have to pay attention to you, love on you, encourage you, take care of your health. Because if you don't, how can you begin to show love to someone else? You know what I'm saying? Like, how can you fill someone else's life with that in which you are depleted of? Food for thought, I say.
This man has a PhD and a bachelor's degree in his life-changing form of art. So I believe that Dr. Goodman knows a little bit about the courses that he teaches. Now, as for Miss Denise Goodman, she stands behind her man 100%. And you know what they say, behind a good man stands a great, strong woman. Now, Denise has a jewelry product line that you might want to check out as well. So to get in touch with this awesome couple, be it their products, services, coaching, or speaking opportunities, visit their contact info in the description that I've provided down below this podcast show. And as for me, and to keep up with the Changed Up Now What movement, visit www.cu-nw.com now for more information. And remember, it is not until you are truly fed up that you will change up. But after you've changed up, then what? We'll see you next Saturday with more inspiration. Peace.